Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my superfine wife, 2 days after our 52nd anniversary.
It's a wonderful Wednesday, and we want to get you started. Hallelujah.
We're going to talk today about something good.
It's all good, honey.
I know, baby. We're gonna discuss where God wants you to be. Where God wants you to be.
Mm-mm.
Hallelujah.
And he wants you blessed and taken care of.
And honey, I'm believing that we can properly convey
what
God is stirring in our spirits.
Hallelujah.
Wherever you're living right now is a good place to be, provided God directed you there.
Well,
we live where we're living either because God brought us to that place or the enemy did. The only way the enemy can do it is if we give him control of our attitude and fail to follow God's instructions. It's not God's best for us to live in dangerous, dirty, or depressing places. Deuteronomy 8:7-8, King James. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains, and depths that spring out of the valley and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. See, God wants you living in a good place, but sometimes you have to go through the wilderness to get into the promised land that he's got for you. Here are 7 clues to where God wants you to live.
Number 1, living in a good land. What makes a land good? Actually, you being there, because you got God with you. But anyway, flowing water, springs for valleys, this is the way he described it for the people of Israel, and hills where the crops are grown, crops like wheat and barley, things like vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. Now that turned on the people of Israel, truly.
Yes.
The land God wants us to have isn't just any kind of land. He calls it a good land. So the question is, when praying about increase, do you ask God to give you the good land? Maybe you need to start. Throughout history, land has always been important, and there's no difference to that in that today, truly. One thing more, there's almost always good things located underneath good land.
That's true.
Well, there's so many stories, right?
Yep. 2, in a place where you lack for nothing.
Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy 8:9, classic. A land in which you shall eat food without shortage and lack nothing in it. A land whose stones are iron and are out of those whose hills you can dig copper. You may have been traveling through enemy territory, but God is going to bring you into a fresh place where every need will be met and you will lack for nothing. I personally like that phrase. In fact, lay claim to it. Mm-hmm. Make it a part of your daily confession.
That's right.
Personalize it. I will lack for nothing. Larry will lack for nothing. Hallelujah.
Brenda will lack for nothing.
That's it.
Denise will lack for nothing.
Ralph and Sonia will lack for nothing.
That's it.
That sounds pretty good, but it gets even better when you remember the Lord thy God and what he's done for you.
Amen. Number 3, houses you can be proud of. Deuteronomy 8:12 said, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and thou hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. You know, you will have a good house. You may have left behind a house in Egypt during the time of bondage to debt, but rejoice that you're going to have goodly houses. That's the way the scripture puts it. Notice the scripture doesn't just say that you're going to have a house. It says you're going to have houses. Do you see that? What is a goodly house? Deuteronomy 8:12 New Living Translation says, for when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine houses to live in. Our house may not be a $1 million house on HDTV. I don't even watch it. Though it might be. It should never be something where you're ashamed of where you live. And by the way, back in the day when we played Monopoly with our kids, everybody was going after those houses to put on Park Place and Broad. Was it Broadwalk?
Boardwalk.
Boardwalk, that's right. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. God is good.
Yes, he is. And I always wanted property. Houses, hotels, railroads, utility companies, all of that. Number four, tending your own flocks and herds. Deuteronomy 8:13. When thy herds and thy flocks multiply. Notice the word thy, meaning the flocks and herds that are multiplying, or yours. Shepherds, for the most part, always paid a wage to tend someone else's flocks and herds. Being a shepherd was not an easy job. It was often grueling, subject to the extremes of weather and the drought of resources. However, Deuteronomy 8:13 points out that your flocks and herds are now multiplying. In the Old Testament, wealth was often measured by the size of a person's flock or herd. It was critical for a person to know the location of every animal and its physical condition. 2 Samuel 12:2. The rich man hath exceedingly many flocks and herds.
Number five, more and more money would be coming your way. Deuteronomy 8:13 goes on to say, this is all God was saying, hey, this is what I'm providing for my children. And thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. We don't know about you, but my husband always used to say, addition is nice, but multiplication,
that's where we want to be,
is definitely better than addition. When it comes to money and possessions, multiplication is nice. In the Message Bible translation of verses 11 through 13, it says, make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules and regulations that I command you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, built pleasant houses and settled in, see your herds and flocks flourish and more money coming in. Watch your standard of living going up and up.
Wow.
That's because we are in the Lord's blessing flow.
That's it. Number six, when God's on your side, there are no limitations to your future. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. 8, 15 and 16 says, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble them, and he might prove to them to do good at the latter end? When you're in the middle of a financial desert, with enemies all around, no water, no food, no family to help you out of a tight spot, just remember, God is doing more for you right now that you can't see, so he can bring into manifestation the things you can see. And always remember this, God will fight your battles for you. Exodus 23:22. But if you will indeed listen to and obey his voice, I'll be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. Romans 8:31, Classic Amplified. As God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side?
Hallelujah.
You have a silent partner in life who's never silent and is always willing to stand up for you.
Number seven. You have the ability, the power to get wealth. It's one of the first principles we, came across years and years and years ago now, and it changed our lives.
Yes, it did.
Because it said it right there in the Bible, Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day.
Wow.
First part of that verse is saying that we should always remember the Lord our God, which was the consistent
theme
in the earlier part of this teaching. We need to read and listen to the teaching maybe again so we can grasp the idea that God is on our side. even if we don't see him, even when always, if we're doing what it is, if we're claiming the word and working the word, is going to work out. Because no matter how successful we come, we never need to forget who our source is.
That's right.
The one who enables and empowers us to be successful, to prosper in this life. I mean, prosper no matter what. Remember what it said about Joseph when he was on the slave block naked. It said Joseph was a prosperous man. Why? Because God was with him. And that should make us hold on like bulldogs. Second, the part of that verse that is God who gives us the power to get wealth. Look, you got to have the power to get wealth. It's not something of our own creation, born of our own abilities. It was the Lord who gave us the power to get wealth. So we need to be watching what it is that he's telling us so we know how to prosper. It's important also to realize that God would never give us power unless he wanted us to use it. So we need to use it to be blessed, to be a blessing. Third, God gives us the power, the ability to get wealth. Remember Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm going to read this in the New International Version. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. That's a hallelujah shout.
Hallelujah.
But one of the things we need to remember is that we can't make C-plus decisions and then want to live an A-plus life.
Come on, baby.
So we need to be doing, we can just pinch a little here, we can pinch a little there. No, we need to do what the Lord God says and not be shortcutting, because it'll shortcut our destiny.
That's right.
That is the truth.
One final thought. We understand that you may have worked hard to get where you are, but we also know that it was the Lord who gave it to you. He gave you a brain to think with, the strength of body to work, the health to function properly, and the skills to create possibilities. In short, we are who we are and where we are because of who's living in us.
That's it.
Always remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. If you're blessed by the teaching, go to HaroldHerring.com, click the button, it says, so we'll see. Just give what he tells you to do. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.